Hi, welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
And Rob, I hear that you want to talk about fantasy football today. And considering that I am the man who hosted you in his fantasy football league, I assume you're here to apologize to me.
Yeah, kind of. I think I do owe you somewhat of an apology. Checking the rankings on the internet, I'm tied for last in your league with only 3 wins and dead last in your power rankings, which I still really don't understand how they work. But, Mike, for our listeners out there who may be more confused than I was this season, do you mind just giving a brief overview of how fantasy football works?
Fantasy football is a game by which citizens, regular people like you and I, Rob, or me more than you, as it turns out, draft actual NFL players. We assemble them on our teams, I put in quotes, and depending on how the players do, statistically, that's how our teams do. And the different teams in the league, it could be the Rob Saxers and the Mike Pesca's Marauders play each other. And if I have better players that week than you do, which turned out to have been the case this year, I will beat you.
Oh, well, that seems all so simple.
Yeah, what went wrong?
Well, I think there is a number of factors. First off, I don't really have a great knowledge of the whole NFL league, you know, beyond my beloved Philadelphia Eagles. Second, I never really understood the intricacies of playing fantasy football. There's this whole thing with waivers. There's this whole thing with who you activate, who's on reserve. I didn't really, oh, and drafting, there's whole skills with that.
Well, what did you think it was? I want to interrupt you. We really need to have this discussion. What did you think was going to happen?
I thought that it was going to be kind of a thing where you draft your players and then you kind of sit back and the computer would do it for you. And so I didn't realize that it was much more hands-on. Now, I talked to Matthew Berry. He's a fantasy analyst for ESPN.com. And he kind of set me straight about my inability to monitor my team.
You certainly need to be paying attention enough that you know guys are on bye weeks. I mean, it doesn't sound like you were really paying attention at all, to be honest.
Yeah. Now, a bye week, we should explain, which every football fan except you knows. Not a team once a year. A team gets to rest. If you have fantasy football players on that team, you're going to want to sub in the guys who are, you know, playing. And that happened to be something that eluded you, Rob?
Yeah. Again, I thought maybe, like, the computer will do this for me.
Oh,
I didn't realize I had to be actively thinking about the team that I assembled and making sure that players who were playing were activated for that particular week. So I really screwed that one up,
I guess.
But, you know, the thing is that even when I did choose players to activate, again, I always went back to the Philadelphia Eagles because I love the team. And I thought, okay, you know, go with my gut, go with the guys I really love. And again, Barry said that this is not good. You have to be somewhat unemotional when picking your players.
You got to think of players as statistical pieces of meat. And literally not worry about it. Listen, I'm a Redskins fan. I'm a diehard, since I was 5 years old, Redskins fan. So as a result, I hate the Cowboys. But I had T.O. on a couple of teams this year. I've got no problem with Tony Romo being on a team. I love Marion Barber because they'll put up big fantasy numbers if you want to win.
Right. And I guess the way you get to be a full-time fantasy analyst is want to win, and the way you get to interview full-time fantasy analysts is to be you, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even, like, understand that I should want to win. You know? I guess a part of me wanted to prove that the Eagles were good and something like that. And the thing is that, though, the Eagles were bad this year. I mean, they tied the Bengals, which I don't even know how you do that. You tie, I mean, whatever. I'm not even going to get into that.
As difficult in football as it is in nature to tie a Bengal.
Yes. But anyway, the whole season going downhill kind of got me feeling bad about the NFL in general, and that's why I kind of tuned out. But Matthew Berry said, this is where fantasy football should have saved me.
If you play fantasy, you have a rooting interest in every single NFL game because chances are you either have a player in that game or you're going against a player in that game.
So because fantasy football, you have players on all the teams, then you can feel like, okay, I have a stake in whatever game is being played. The other thing he said is that even if I didn't know one thing about, you know, say the San Diego Chargers or the Oakland Raiders, I don't even have to do the homework. This is what the guys at ESPN are doing.
We project every single player every week. So you can literally, even if you know absolutely nothing about football, you could play because you could just go there and you could see, like, oh, here's who ESPN says should be my starting lineup.
Yeah. Now, before you talked to Matthew Berry, did you know who he was?
No.
You see, that's a problem. Every day, Matthew Berry has a podcast, and every day he goes on ESPN and tells you what you should do, and you learn about football and also about himself, such as the fact that he was the screenwriter of Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had no clue. And,
no.
And you need
to know this stuff if you're going to win a fantasy football.
Well, now I feel totally stupid because I interviewed the guy and I didn't even bring that up. I mean, there's so many Paul Hogan questions I have that I could have thrown at him.
Right. Like when you get the assignment to write Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, they say, all right, there's only one thing you have to do and you have to use the phrase, that's not a knife, now that's a knife. Okay, other than that, you do whatever you want.
The larger point you're making here, Mike, is that I really didn't do my homework this season.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, is that what Matthew was telling me about, because as I was talking to him about fantasy leagues, I realized that your league in particular isn't quite like all the other leagues. Now, Here's what he told me happens in some of these other leagues.
What we found is that people enjoy, you know, poring over the stats, looking at their team, thinking about their team, thinking about other people's teams, thinking about the league, talking trash, trading emails, you know, trying to make trades.
See, it sounds like there's all this flurry of activity all over the place, and people are thinking of my team. I don't know how many of the people in your league were really thinking about my team, or nobody was talking trash to me. Hey,
they were thinking, like, woo, easy win this week. I'm up against Rob.
Maybe they were thinking that. But, hey, I actually picked Matt Ryan because he's from Philadelphia, not because I knew he'd be any good. But I picked him early on the season. He wound up being this fantasy steal. Nobody even asked if I wanted to trade him because I had him benched the whole time. You know,
probably not
the right thing. So I'm thinking that your league is too polite, and that is why I didn't get into it. I could have gotten more juiced had people been like, hey, Rob, I'm going to beat you this week. But everyone was just too nice to me.
So you're criticizing my league. Isn't that like the Detroit Lions criticizing the NFL for not being competitive enough?
Hey, it makes me feel better, okay? Knowing that I have someone else to blame for my failures. If I can offload all that onto you, I feel like I'm going to come out a winner, Mike.
Yeah, well, I'm willing to accept that and also accept your entry fee. And that does it for this episode of What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I am Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rob Sachs.